I've given the title Think and Speak Differently. Now, I have been absolutely fascinated what I've discovered in that. And I'm sure it will be a blessing for you too. I read from 37 to 1 to 5, which reads, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Again he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live.'" I'm fascinated by this story. God asked Ezekiel, "Do you think these bones can live?" Now, I love Ezekiel's answer. He gave a very safe and diplomatic answer. He could have been English, you know. He said, "Oh Lord God, you know." It's interesting that the Lord didn't even react on Ezekiel's answer, nor commented on it. He straightway said, "Prophesy to these bones." Dry bones represent dry, impossible situations in our lives. Now, God is looking for people he can work with. God says, "I need someone who believes that dry bones can live. I need someone who is unreasonably optimistic. I need to work with someone who has a victorious mindset. I need someone who has faith in me." It's interesting that God didn't say to Ezekiel, "Now, watch me prophesy." He didn't say that. No, God wants to partner with someone who has broken free from pessimism. Someone who dares to believe God more than what he actually sees with his own physical eyes. Now, it's Ezekiel's turn. He may have looked around if there was somebody there watching him, because what he's going to do now is very, very strange. He is going to speak to dry bones. When have you spoken to dry bones last? You don't. If you have a dog, you may give him a bone, but you wouldn't speak to the bone first. And if people would have watched him, they would have thought, now his religion really drove him crazy. Have you ever been in a situation where God said to you, "Speak life into your situation. Bless your situation"? Normally, we speak to people. And sometimes you may even speak to yourselves. But you don't speak to bones and you don't speak to situations. It's much easier to talk negative about bad situations because you're just talking about what everybody else already sees. It's a little bit harder to start talking what God is saying because nobody can actually understand why you are saying it. I ask you now, are there areas in your life which you think this will never change? Areas you think it's impossible? Are your circumstances so dry and impossible that, humanly speaking, there is no solution in sight? It simply looks impossible. And everybody around you is agreeing with you, saying, yes, there is really not much hope in the physical. Can I challenge you and me right at this moment? Can we agree with God instead? Can we be like Ezekiel God wants to use our voices to change our situations. It's interesting that God didn't ask Ezekiel to pray for the bones. He told him to command the bones. This is the reason why we sometimes don't see much results in certain situations, maybe. Sometimes we ask God what he told us to do. Can these bones live? God asks the same question to us right now. Can our family live? Can we keep up a deep devotional life with God? Can our finances live? Can our land live? Can our sickness and disease be cured? He is asking us, what do you think? What do you think? Because what you think is critical for breakthroughs. The question is never, how dry are the bones? The question is whether we have renewed our own mind enough to believe that these bones can live. We can change circumstances when we speak what God tells us to speak. When we think how God thinks. When we see how God sees. There are no hopeless circumstances. There are only hopeless people. Once people get through hope, the circumstances can't stay the same anymore. Hope is an unstoppable force. If something is going to change, then it's because someone is hoping. He who has got the most hope has got the most influence. After love, hope is the most powerful force a leader and any Christian can have. We need to start to think differently. The problem with hope is it's not realistic. The first thing you learn in a counseling course is to give people hope. That is straightforward. But it sounds easy, but the problem is that people fight for their own right to stay hopeless. People say, David, I have to be realistic. But do you know what God says to this? God says, I have not called you to be realistic. I have called you to live naturally, supernatural. If we are trying to get hope from the natural realm, it probably is hopeless indeed. But if you look to God, to our God, from all the God of hope, that's where our hope comes from. Words are like seeds. When you speak something out, you give life to what you are saying. If you continue to say it, eventually it can become a reality. Whether you are realizing it or not, you are prophesying to your own future. If you are saying, I'm strong, I will accomplish my dreams, I will come out of that, you are not just being positive, but you are speaking out victories. You're speaking out new levels. Your life moves into the direction of your own words. But too many people prophesy the opposite. I will never get a breakthrough. My relatives will never get saved. They are too hard. I will never get back in shape again. My business will never kick off again. They don't realize they are prophesying defeat. And guess what? They won't be disappointed. You may say now, well, prophesying is the wrong word here. But it's actually not, because God said to Ezekiel, speak to these bones. In the same way, he says many things of our lives in the Word of God. And if we speak out what the Word of God says about our lives, you can call it prophesying. It's applying and speaking over our lives, which God has already said. Prophesying is speaking what God is saying, agreeing with Him. You see, the scripture says that we will eat the fruit of our words. You are planting seeds when you talk. And at some point, you and I are going to eat the fruit we have sown. If you want to have a pear, if you want to have pears, you will have to plant pear seeds. You can't plant cactus seeds and expect pears. It's impossible. In other words, you can't talk defeat and expect victory. If you have a poor mouth, you are going to have a poor life. If you, James clearly says, with our tongues, we can bless and curse our lives and other lives. You see, whenever you say, I will never get out of debt, you curse your own life. Or I will never get well, you curse your life. Sometimes the enemy doesn't need to defeat us because we defeat ourselves. Stop cursing your life and start blessing your life. You see, in the morning, when you look into the mirror, don't say, oh, this person behind this ugly, wrinkly face, you know, has failed so many times and today will be no different. Don't say that. That's not what God intended for your life at all. Rather get up and say to that mirror, boy, you are looking good again this morning. You are going to accomplish mighty things and today because God is with you. You are going to be victorious because Jesus bore the victory on the cross. You are going to touch lives around you mightily because the Holy Spirit is in you. Sometimes in the morning, I say to Donna, just before we get up, I say to her, let's get up and change the world. That's better than saying, oh, see what this day will bring. If you talk like this every morning, you speak blessings and biblical truths and promises out, which God is going to make a reality in your life. So every morning when you leave the house, you say to the mirror, good morning, you good-looking boy, God is with you. This has nothing to do with positive talk or positive thinking. Positive thinking is a mental attitude in which you expect good and favorable results. That kind of thinking is has no foundation whatsoever. We are not just naming and claiming. This is a totally different thing. But what we are doing is totally different. Our thinking and talk is 100% based on the Word of God, which is our foundation for our lives. We are pronouncing biblical truths. Jesus lives in you, and therefore you're good looking. Jesus lives in you, and God, therefore God is with you, because Jesus is called God is with you. God is with us. God is with us. This is His name. And its fruit will be delicious. That's it. It's so simple. But praise God, it is powerful. Now listen to what Proverbs 6 verse 2 says. You are snared by the words of your mouth. Snared means to be trapped. Your words can cause you to stumble. It can keep you from your potential. You are not snared by what you think. That's the difference. Negative thoughts come to us all the time. When you speak them out, you give life to them. That's when they become your reality. If you say, I don't have a good personality, that's limiting God's best for your life straight away. Don't use your words to describe the situation. Use your words to change your situation. Jesus says in Matthew 6:31, this is so powerful. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Notice that word, saying. Negative thoughts will come. The key is, don't say them. A thought will die stillborn if you don't speak it. Jesus is saying, you may be feeling worried. You may feel like everything is going wrong. But don't verbalize them. Don't verbalize it. Don't get trapped by your words. My challenge to you and me is now, when negative thoughts come to us, as they come to everybody, don't speak them out and they will die. It's very tempting to babble out all our frustrations to our friends, thinking a shared burden is lighter. You want to say the opposite. You can acknowledge what the situation looks like in the physical, but then add to it, but Christ will be my supplier. But God will open a way where there is no way. Your friends may say, oh, I've heard you had a bad medical report. Yes, that's true, but I go by the heavenly report. And you take literally the Bible, the word of God, and by his stripes we are healed, and you put it on the doctor's report. You declare it. This is yours. I heard these people did wrong to you. Is that right? Yes, that's true. But I'm not worried. God is my vindicator. So don't talk about the problem. Talk about the promise. There are always two voices. Always two voices. Always is always two. It's always this or that. The voice of faith or the voice of defeat. Now, here is the thing. You get to choose what you are going to believe. The way you do this is you choose what you speak. When you verbalize that thought, you will give it the right to come to pass. If you say the problem is too big, I will never get out of this problem, then you are agreeing with the wrong voice. Negative words can hold us back to become the person you and I are created to be. If you pray, for example, for a job, and then you walk away and say, oh, this is never going to happen. I will never get this job. Nobody would even want me. Then you have just annihilated all the prayers you have prayed before that in one sentence. You have just annihilated it. And you will get what you said after your prayer. Now in Numbers 13, when Moses sent the 12 spies out into the promised land to see what the land is like, and God wanted them to give, all 12 came back with the same report. They all agreed there were giants in the land and the land was very good. They agreed on these two points. They all agreed on that. Now, the circumstances were the same for all 12. But you know what? The 12 broke up into two teams. 10 were in the boo team and 2 in the yeah team. Now, it fascinates me here. But realistically seen, there is no way. The 10 said, realistically seen, there is just no way that they can take the land. It's not possible. This is what they said. We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. But you know what? The Yeh team, Joshua and Caleb, they said, we can take the land. Don't fear. We have here two different opinions, and both were right. There was the earthly opinion, and there was the heavenly opinion. The circumstances were not the problem, only their conclusion was. How comes that Joshua and Caleb have a totally different conclusion? How comes? That's where we realize my circumstances in my life is actually not the problem. It's the conclusion I put on my circumstances. As soon as we conclude that the circumstance is too big, we will lose our hope. Now, Joshua and Caleb also saw that it seems impossible to overcome these natural enemies. They were not dumb people. They knew that. Because in the physical, they appear much stronger than we Israelites. But they thought differently. They saw a way where nobody else could see a way. Their hope was in God and not into the natural solutions. If you don't have hope, then failure will destroy you. If you stand in faith on something and it doesn't happen, then hope says that didn't work out, but something better is coming. God has a better way. When we were looking for our house, we rent now at the moment, before we left Norfolk, nobody wanted us. And because how can you explain to them you live by faith? You know, it's just, it needed a supernatural miracle. And then there was one house. It was so cheap and we really thought, this is our house. We believed God gives us this house. And you know what? We just learned a few days afterward that it was given to somebody else. And we were in shock because we really, really believed that was our house. But it was given to somebody else. Now, hope says God has a better house for us. And that's exactly what happened afterward. We are in a much better house than that was. Praise God for that. You see, hope is a protection of ultimate failure. We can lose a battle and still win the war. Hope is a confident expectation that good is coming. There are many people who are struggling with grief over loss. And sometimes people don't know the difference between grief and hopelessness. We have permission to grieve, but don't grieve without hope. It means I'm going to miss that person, but I am going to be all right with God's help. And that's the key, that I don't remain stuck in hopelessness. Always look for the way of hope. Hope is an overall optimistic attitude based on the goodness and promises of God. This is very important to add. Otherwise, we are just in the free positive thinking, which we don't have anything to do with. I want to close with this one. A missionary preached once in a church. And in the end, he gave an altar call and said, who wants to be a missionary in this congregation? And there was one woman there. She always wanted to be a missionary. She so desperately wanted to be a missionary. And as he gave the altar call and said, who wants to be a missionary? Come forward. That woman had a big fight and battle in her heart. There was, again, two voices. One voice said, it's impossible. You are a young mom with three little kids, it's impossible for you to be a missionary and an unsaved husband. And then the woman tried to explain to God, I can't go forward. I can't go to be a missionary. It's impossible. But God said, go forward, answer the call. But I can't go forward. And in the end, she did go forward. And the missionary prayed for her. And you know what? A few weeks later, she got a promotion in her job. She was working for a non-profit organization called CareNet Pregnancy Center. And she got, after the promotion, she could go into different countries to speak about sanctity of life. And after, she could go about to 12 countries in the end. And after the second or the third country, she suddenly realized, I'm a missionary. She realized, I am a missionary. She could go to 12 different countries in the end. But because she changed what she believed, it wasn't her circumstances holding her back. It was her belief system which held her back, thinking it's impossible. You see, Luke 1:37 clearly says, for God, nothing is impossible. We need to look at our circumstances with different eyes and join the Yeah team who have got a different conclusion. Praise God for that.